Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, April 11th. We've got plenty of crime news to bring you today, as well as an update on the county's potholes. But first, drivers have revealed a hike in charges at a car park near Canterbury was so unreasonable they thought it was an April Fool's prank. Up until the start of the month, you could park in School Lane in Herne for a whole day for just £2.20. It was popular with residents and visitors who would use the site when heading to the local pub, church and community centre. But on April 1st, new tariffs were introduced, which has seen the daily charge rocket to £15. The hourly rate has also been introduced at £1.90. Retired builder Scott Davies lives in the area. He says it's utter madness.
It's ridiculous. It went from £1.20 a day to £15 a day. And obviously, there's residents here that haven't got parking themselves. There's other businesses, you know, and it's just absolutely mad. It was crazy. It went up on April the 1st. Everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke. Car park was used a lot because in Cherry Orchard, where the lads played football, they would park on Sunday. The church on Sunday services, funerals, weddings, christenings. And the thing is, it's not like it's in Herne Bay Town, which has got a large footfall. You know, there's no passing foot traffic here. So it's people that are living here or come to the church.
There's not a lot of parking room in the village, is there?
There's none at all. I mean, as you can see, all the roads are yellow lines. You can't park anywhere. Crazy.
Were people aware this was happening?
No. No information at all. I believe the parish council knew about it and they put an objection to it, but it was totally ignored. Everybody's got the ump about it. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. There's nowhere to park at all here.
A spokesperson for the council said they will still allow free parking for the morning school run and for events at the nearby Herne Centre. Council also say the charges will be reviewed next year and they will consider the impact the changes have had on the community.
Kent Online News.
An investigation is underway after a man died in a crash near Ashford. A trailer being towed by a van became detached and collided with a Ford Transit travelling in the opposite direction on Canterbury Road in Chollock yesterday morning. A man in his 50s who was driving the Transit died at the scene. Fire crews have been called after two derelict buildings in Rochester caught alight overnight. Two engines tackled the blaze in Lodge Hill Lane in Chatterton after it broke out just before 6 p.m. There were no reported injuries and it's not known how it started. Authorities are treating it as suspicious. A driver who reached speeds of up to 80 miles per hour before hitting a telegraph pole and a couple out walking a dog has been jailed. Cameron Wilmore ploughed into the pair on Station Road in Otford in December 2021 after losing control of his BMW. The 25-year-old from Edgar Road in Kemsing has been locked up for 2.5 years. He's also been given a 4-year driving ban. A Tunbridge Wells dealer's been jailed after police found he'd sent 10,000 drug supplies messages in just 3 months. Alex Underwood, who hasn't got a permanent home, was dealing cocaine and cannabis across West Kent. The 29-year-old was stopped by police while he was walking to his car.
Yeah, that's fine. You're going to find a couple of bits in there. Not no drugs, but a couple of bits and bobs.
I've got weighing scales of whey powder on me.
They also found bags for drugs and a stab vest. He's been locked up for 3 years. A burglar who went on the run from a court in Canterbury has been arrested. He managed to distract a dock officer while waiting to be sentenced last week. The 26-year-old, who has links to Thanet, was detained shortly after being added to a Kent Police Most Wanted list. A man's been arrested following reports of an indecent exposure in Margate. It's said to have happened near St Peter's footpath on April 2nd. Police want to hear from any witnesses. A 65-year-old has been bailed. A man's been charged after police were called to reports of a disturbance in Dover. Officers were sent to Pencester Road after staff at a premises said they'd been verbally abused. The 39-year-old suspect is also alleged to have assaulted two police officers. He's due in court in May. Two teenagers have been arrested after a dispersal order was brought into force to tackle antisocial behaviour in a Kent village. Police have been patrolling Ash near Sandwich after reports of groups getting into empty buildings and causing a nuisance. A 13-year-old was taken home to his parents. A 16-year-old is due in court. Cafes and restaurants on part of the Kent coast have been targeted by thieves. Break-ins have been reported in Folkestone, Hythe and Romney Marsh since March 27th. Cash, food and drink has been stolen. stolen. Investigations are continuing and outlets are being urged to stay vigilant. And a high street church on Sheppey has closed after a vase was thrown through a stained glass window. Holy Trinity Queenborough has been shut since last Thursday after the window behind the altar was smashed. Police say it's too soon to say if it's a hate crime. Investigations are ongoing.
Kent Online News.
A new report's found 15% of Kent police officers want to leave the force within the next 2 years or sooner. A survey carried out by the Police Federation also found almost 7 in 10 don't feel valued and even more wouldn't recommend it as a job. Henry Wendell is a former PC.
The morale of the police, I believe, is not based on the officers that join the police. A lot of people join the police for the right reasons. And they were expecting to be paid with regards to their job titles, etc. Being a police officer is not easy. You go out on the street and you have to deal with all kinds of people. And most of those people that you deal with are very aggressive towards you if you're going to arrest them, as you know. I've read the report from the Federation chief, and I have to agree with him 100%, really, because our pay, when I say our pay, I'm referring to myself as an ex-police officer and police officer, has not really moved ahead with the responsibilities given to the police over the last 20 years or so. Police officers have got to deal with criminals who are more sophisticated than they are. They have to deal with a criminal justice system that is very slow in progressing inquiries or cases. They have to go to court. They spend days and months getting a case to court only for the person sitting in the dock to get 3 months or 2 years when they really should be getting some significant sentences. Police officers cannot strike. Police officers cannot say they're not going to do their job. They have to go whenever they're called. And, you know, there is a change in the mentality of the new officers that are coming in. We are employing young, highly educated people that go to university to join the police. And then they come into the police and are treated with all antiquated forms of training and treatment. And they're expected to do a job. Hence the reason why I believe that so many of them are leaving.
And now here's Chair of the Kent Police Federation, Neil Menny.
The report makes for quite grim reading, and the picture in Kent is broadly similar to that right across the country. Unfortunately, we seem to be in a bit of a perfect storm where we have two elements. We've got the policing element itself. No one joins the police to make money. It is a vocation, but we've got the position of officers in a very stressful, high-pressure role with very demanding workloads. And that's one set of things to worry about. But then, of course, what the survey shows is that aside from that, when they're going home, they're worrying about paying for the shopping, the cost of living and all sorts of other things, which means we're in a bit of a perfect storm in both parts. Morale, unfortunately, seems to be very low from what we've heard. And that's also reflected in the survey. Officers largely feel unsupported, and they feel largely unsupported by government also. And that's pretty much where we are at the moment, and that's what we're hearing from our members.
And more than three quarters of police officers are dissatisfied with their pay, and 4 out of 5 say they feel financially worse off. Why is this, do you think?
I think, as I've already described, economically everyone's in a very challenging environment. But I think coupled with the fact that we've got a number of new officers that have started quite recently as part of a large-scale uplift programme, and when they first join, we want them to remain enthusiastic and committed to the role, and for the long term. But it's questionable whether the pay and conditions they are currently at will encourage them to remain with us. And also we have a fair number of officers that are considering leaving the force, which is also very disappointing. We really want people to come into this profession. It's an important profession, and it's something that at times is really worthwhile to do, but you can see that officers are struggling. There are some elements that the Chief Constable of Kent can control and some that he can't. So, for example, our officers here in this part of the county receive the maximum South East allowance because we know it's an expensive place to live. However, when it comes to morale and workload, at some point we've got to look at the amount of work that officers are dealing with, and currently many of them are overwhelmed with the amount of work they're doing. So really and truly, there are some difficult decisions for the Chief to make.
Kent Online News.
Bosses in Medway have written to the government asking them for £50 million to fix 2,000 potholes. They've told the roads minister that current state of the streets is unsafe and angering residents. Council leader Vince Maple also says previous funding of £400,000 isn't enough.
What we know from feedback we're getting directly from residents, we can see it ourselves as councillors, that the roads are not in the good enough condition that Medway residents deserve. We knew that before May the 4th, and that continues to be an issue. The level of resources we have for this simply aren't adequate. So we've taken the decision today to write to the Minister for Roads to say actually we want to have a discussion with him. I know this is not a unique Medway problem. There'll be other upper tier authorities, including our neighbours in Kent, who will be also struggling with their road safety and road quality because of potholes, but we've taken the decision to highlight it to the Minister, to ask to meet with him to explore, you know, how do we get to the level of resources that we need for this very specific issue, bearing in mind the 91% cut we've had in our revenue support grant since 2010.
I feel like you may have just touched on it then, but 2,000 potholes, an estimated £50 million to fix the problem and get the roads up to scratch. How have we got into this situation?
Well, look, I think it is down to the resources, and you know, residents will be aware that this council's had a 91% cut in its revenue support grant since 2010. You know, you will see almost literal sticking plaster, £400,000 grant that we've seen in the last year. That simply doesn't touch the surfaces, so we need a more fundamental review. And I accept entirely this is not just a Medway issue. You know, national media organisations have been running this as one of the lead stories over the last couple of weeks. There's a national road crisis when it comes to the issue of potholes, and we're doing the right thing as Medway's leaders of its council to say to government we need the resources to get this fixed, because it's not just an issue of site discomfort, it's becoming increasingly an issue of safety.
The estimated 50 million is obviously a very large sum. I mean, I don't think you expect to get a huge £50 million cheque straight away, but how do you expect that you might be able to solve this problem?
Well, I hope firstly the Minister will give us a hearing. I hope he'll take the opportunity to listen to both myself and Simon, and also our officers, because of course they've got the professional knowledge and expertise to know some of the data and some of the information behind that. So I hope they'll take that opportunity. There may be other councils that will look on at this letter and go, we should probably write as well. And if they want to work with us on a cross-party basis, we stand ready to work with them.
You've previously written to Michael Gove and he hasn't taken up your offer. Do you think the Department for Transport will be more open to it?
Look, who knows? I hope that they will understand this is an issue. I suspect the MPs of Medway's post bags are full of this as well. People are talking about this when we knock on their doors, when we're in our high streets and elsewhere. So, yeah, this is a real live political issue. It's not the only issue. There are lots of things, of course, as a unitary authority we are dealing with. But this is about saying we can see firsthand, we hear from the residents, and we're doing what we can. I think the team here work incredibly hard with very limited resources to deal with the issue of road conditions. And we will keep pushing hard now we've got this letter in, and we hope that we get a positive response.
The authority's responsible for maintaining more than 820 kilometres of highways across the borough. The government says it's given Medway £3.5 million for its road network. It comes as KCC and Medway Council have revealed which roads will benefit from a chunk of government cash for repairs. A total of £8.6 million from the Department of Transport will be spent between March and October this year. That's on top of around £50 million already pledged in KCC own road and footway planned maintenance budget. You can find details of the roads getting a share of the cash at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Parents in part of West Kent are calling for a new non-selective secondary school so their children don't have to travel so far to get to class. At the moment, pupils in Cranbrook face journeys of up to 12 miles in each direction. A campaign group has now teamed up with the parish council to push the Department for Education for change. Claire Mills' daughter is due to start secondary in a few years' time.
My main concern at the moment is that the nearest school is 10 miles away, which involves obviously commuting on a bus because my husband and I both work, so we can't do school drop-offs. At the moment, the bus companies are already struggling with the volume of children that they've got to take to and from various schools. And at the moment, we've got hundreds of houses that are being built in Cranbrook, as well as all the other parishes around us. And it's just a concern for me that how is she going to be able to get to school safely and on time as it stands now, and obviously in 4 years' time when we've got hundreds more children going to school. The buses aren't going to be every half an hour. So if she misses one, it's going to be waiting for a long time. And she's going to miss out on making friends locally and going to commute to after school clubs. It just seems like she's going to spend all of her time either at school, on the bus, and then she's going to have to come home and spend hours doing homework. She's not going to have any downtime to enjoy being a child.
What can you tell me about the journey? So is it just going to be one bus, or will she need to, I mean, I suppose it depends on the school where she eventually goes. Could it be a series of buses? What does the journey look like, and approximately how long it's going to take each way?
So obviously it does depend on which school we end up choosing, but it would be either one bus or two buses, or it could be her having to get a bus to a train station and then the train onto somewhere. And we're looking at a minimum of an hour's commute for her, which obviously as she gets older won't be so much of an issue, but as an 11-year-old is a huge concern for me.
Is it a concern for your daughter as well? As we said, I know that she's not quite at school age, but at a time that's already quite, it can make kids quite anxious, you know, when they're first starting secondary school, it can also be quite exciting. Is the idea of having to take these long bus trips and things like that, is that impacting on her excitement about going to secondary?
Definitely, yeah. She's worried about getting on the buses on her own without a parent, which, as I say, me and my husband wouldn't be able to do. But also with how widespread the schools are, it's not guaranteed that she'll be commuting with friends from her class at the moment. So it may be that she's one of maybe one or two children that are doing this long commute.
Kim Fletcher is chairman of the local parish council.
A school represents the heart of a community. So parents get involved. Kids play sports, there are after schools clubs, there are quiz nights, there are fundraising things, there's dances, there's all sorts of things which actually bring the generations together. And that gives you a community. And what we're finding in the rural parishes, and it's not just Cranbrook, it's Staplehurst, it's Goudhurst, all of them, we're finding that we're being stripped out of public services. So Kent County Council, for example, have just stopped all youth services in the rural areas. So that means to go to a youth club, you've got to go to Tunbridge Wells. Well, that's over 10 miles away. Claire mentioned friendship groups. You know, if we're 10 miles from a school now, and there's another child who's 5 miles the other side, that's 15 miles. So it's very unlikely that parents, particularly working parents or parents who don't have a car, are going to be able to shift their children around at weekends. So the friendship groups disappear. And we think that KCC actually understand this issue, and we have a meeting with them coming up. But we need to go to the Department of Education to persuade them that there's an issue. So where would the school go? We're not saying it must go in Cranbrook. There are other places, but we do need something within the High Weald. So the campaign's been running for 10 days and we've got 650 signatures already. We have basically done a lot of flyering and posters within the 13 surrounding parishes. They are just getting on board as they understand the importance of their children having an option in terms of schools.
You can find out more details about their campaign at Kent Online or get involved at supportweeldschooling.co.uk. Stab-proof vests have been handed to cleaners at a Kent shopping centre as part of their uniform to keep them safe. Bosses at County Square in Ashford say the equipment was given to security staff last summer and has now been given to the entire front of house team. They say the rollout has been well received. A County Square spokeswoman says PPE of this nature is becoming standard issue in the shopping centre industry, and they'll continue to make changes to their daily operations to ensure teams are safe and feel safe in their duties. In 2020, armed police were called to County Square to report a group said to be carrying knives were causing a disturbance. Fortunately, in that instance, no one was hurt. Canterbury-based firm Acon Security says there has been an unprecedented rise in assaults on retail workers nationally over recent years. Visitors to the centre say they support the move and any measures that will keep staff safe. A large leisure complex complex could be built on land in Ashford that had previously been set aside for an Amazon warehouse. David Lloyd wants to put tennis courts, swimming pools and a spa on the site in Waterbrook Park, creating up to 100 jobs. The chain already has sites in Kings Hill and Dartford. And the search is on for a shopper who bought a Barbie for a poorly little girl from Medway in a random act of kindness. Leanne Bealey was shopping at Asda in Gillingham with her daughter Grace when she was approached at the self-service checkout. Grace, who's 5, has been suffering seizures and may need surgery.
Kent Online Sport.
Briefly in football, a new girls team in Kent says they've been inspired by Alessia Russo. Cranbrook Juniors under-10s have already won several games and are putting their success down to the Lioness, who's from Maidstone. The 25-year-old played in England's 2-0 win over the Republic of Ireland in a Euro 2025 qualifier on Tuesday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.